Your Bible this morning to the book of 2 Kings. He sang, I remember, that was one of the songs he was singing back then, and it still hadn't grown old. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 6.
Amen.
And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. You can be seated. My text is in verse number 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? Where fell it? Now I want to preach on that thought this morning. Where fell it? Elisha has ascended to the place of being the prominent prophet of God in his day. Elijah, his master, has been taken off of the scene. And Elisha has stepped in his shoes. And oh, what shoes to fill. Amen.
Yes, sir.
He is the head of the sons of the prophet. The place where they are at, they said, had become too straight. And that was talking about their numbers had so increased that it was not large enough to house them in this place where they were. Would to God we had that problem today, amen.
Amen.
Preachers are not increasing, they're diminishing.
You're right. Yeah.
But here under the leadership of Elisha, they come, they say, preacher, they said, this place is not sufficient to house us. We need to go yonder down the Jordan and let us build, cut down some trees and build us a place to dwell there. And Elisha said, go. They weren't content to go by themselves, and this is a good thought. They want the man of God to go with them. Amen.
Amen.
Be good when God's people come back to the realization you need the man of God with you. Amen.
Amen.
And so they requested that he would go with them, and he consented and they went. And while they were there, the Bible said that there was one of these sons of the prophet that was felling a beam. He was cutting down some wood, a tree, with an axe. And all of a sudden, the axe head flies off. Goes out into the waters. He's very upset, concerned, because it was borrowed. He goes to Elisha and he said, master, he said, I've lost my axe head. He said, when I was filling this beam, it flew off into the waters, and he said, it was borrowed. And Elisha said, take me to the place. And he took the man of God down to the water somewhere in the vicinity, that he could recollect that it fell into the waters. And the Bible said that Elisha took a stick and he cast it into the waters. And miraculously the iron did swim. Amen. And when it come up to the surface and was visible in the man's sight, the preacher said, reach out and take it. And he stretched out his hand and he took the axe head. And it was restored back once again. Wonderful miracle that we've read about this morning. Axe heads don't normally swim, amen. But the key, what I want you to see, church, this morning, the key to getting this axe head back was in this question that Elisha asked him. Where fell it? He had to go back to the place where it fell at. And when the man of God made it miraculously swim and come up to the surface and become plainly visible in sight, he had to reach out and he had to take it back again.
That's right.
And I want to preach on that thought this morning. Where fell it?
Right.
This axe head represents the power of God.
Yes.
In our life.
Yes.
Right. It represents that makes our labor and our service effective for God. I tell you, it doesn't matter who you are and what kind of lumberjack you may be. Doesn't matter how big of a handle you've got. You can get out there and beat and you can whack and you can swing and you can labor fervently and frantically and furiously. But I'm telling you, if you don't have an axe head on that handle, all of your beating and cramming and hammering away is going to be in vain. Amen. This axe head represents that power of God in the church. The power of God in our life. I will tell you something. We can get out here and we can work and we can labor. We can swing our axe handles day and night until we're wore slam out and we can be. We might knock some bark off the tree, but that's about it. Amen. If we're going to be effective in our service for God, we have got, church, we have got to have the power of God, and it is the power of God that makes our labor effective and our service fruitful for God. So this axe head now, it represents the power of God, that makes us effective, that makes us fruitful in our labor and our service for God. But this man, he represents the individual who, number one, realizes he's lost it. Till we realize we have lost the power of God, we'll never get it back. He could have went on going through the motions, beaten away at the base of the tree, could have probably put on a good front. Some of his brothers or fellow laborers over there, perhaps if they wasn't playing real close attention, would have never known it was gone. But he come to the place where he realized, I lost my axe head.
Yes, sir.
Not only did he realize it, he was willing to acknowledge it.
That's right.
Openly.
Yes.
He was willing to go to Elisha and say, I have lost my axe head.
Uh-huh.
It's one thing to know it, it's another thing to acknowledge it.
That's right.
I think a lot of times we know it, but we just won't be honest and acknowledge it. But here's a man that knows it. Here's a man that acknowledges that I have lost my axe. And I'll tell you, the best thing we could do this morning is to fall on our face in confession to God and say, God, I've been laboring, I've been swinging away, but I have lost my axe head. The power of God that makes us effective in our labor and in our service. But the third thing about this man, he was willing to go back to the place where he lost it. And when the man of God made it miraculously swim to the surface and become plainly visible in sight, he was willing to stretch out his hand and take it back again. This man represents the preacher today, the pastor, who's laboring week after week, month after month, year after year, but the trees aren't falling, amen. We've lost our accent. He represents the evangelist going week after week, night after night, chopping away and beating away, but the big trees aren't falling because he lost his accent. He represents the missionary. And by the way, this fellow didn't make any excuses. He didn't look around at his fellow lumberjacks and say, fellas, I tell you, y'all's trees are falling, but this tree here, this just a hard one, amen.
That's right.
He didn't say, this just a big old hard tree, and I tell you, I've been beating on it, and I've been chopping away. I tell you, we've made a lot of excuses today.
Yes, sir.
We talk about this is just a hard day. This is just a hard time. The missionary says, preach, this is just a hard field where I'm at. And the pastor said, this is just a hard church. And the evangelist said, these are just hard days. And these are just hard trees that we're chopping off. Let's quit making excuses. I'm telling you, the power of God is still able to bring down the biggest trees. Amen.
Yeah.
We've lost our accent. He represents the singer. They get up and sing ever so eloquently and hit every note and great talent and great ability, but the trees don't fall. He represents you as a Sunday school teacher this morning that every week getting up and preparing and teaching that Sunday school class, but the trees aren't falling. He represents that soul winner that's going out with an axe handle and knocking on doors and handing out gospel tracts and very fervent and very zealous, but the trees aren't falling because we've lost our accent.
Yeah.
We've lost the power and the touch of Almighty God, and the key to getting that axe head back. Listen, church, this morning, we've got to go back to the place where it fell. We've got to go back to the place where we lost it, and when it comes to surface, and you see it this morning plainly visible inside in a heart of repentance and acknowledgement, stretch out our hand and take it back. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Where fell it? I want to give you some waters that it possibly fell in. Number one, for some here this morning, it might have fell in the waters of strife. You'll read about that in Psalm 106 and verse number 32. The Bible talks about how that they strove with Moses and they strove with Aaron. And he makes this phrase, at the waters of strife.
That's right.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of folks that have lost their accent at the waters of strife.
That's right.
It fell in those waters of strife. And by the way, it talks about them striving with Moses and with Aaron. That's God's men.
Right.
And the people strove against Moses and they strove against Aaron and they complained and they said, Moses, you take too much upon you. And they criticized Moses' wife and they criticized Moses' authority and they didn't like the way that Moses was leading them. And God said they were at the waters of strife.
Right.
I'll tell you something, you want to lose your accent, that's a good place to lose it at, amen.
That's right.
You get to striving with the man of God that God has placed in your life as an authority, as a pastor. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of church members that strove with the man of God, and they have lost their axe head, and they're not going to get it back till they go back to the place where they lost it at. They didn't like the message, and they got cross with him about his authority, and didn't like the way that he was running the church, and began to murmur and began to complain, and got upset and got offended about something that he preached. And I'm going to tell you, they packed their bags, and they went down to another church, and you know what they did? They took them right in and put an axe handle right in their hand.
That's a good.
And said, go at it. Put them right in the Sunday school class, made them a deacon, let them preach, lead the choir, the singing and the music. They put an axe handle in their hand and they go to beating away. But I'm telling you, you will never be effective in the service of God. God can't use you because you're beaten without an axe head. You done lost it back there at the waters of strife. You may go down the road, you may find you another church, and they may put an axe handle in your hand. They may appoint you as assistant pastor, but I'm telling you, you lost it at the waters of strife, and you're not going to get it back till you go back to those waters and take it back up. I called a preacher several months ago and was talking to him and spoke to him in a couple years. He had an evangelist out of his church. And I made mention, I said, how's Brother So-and-so doing? And he said, well, I guess you hadn't heard. He said, that evangelist is no longer in my church. And he told me about the situation, how that he had gone out on vacation, anniversary or something, come back, and the evangelist had led an uprising in the church. Carried about half of the folks away. And I said, brother, I said, I don't know anything about the situation. I said, matter of fact, I don't know what he fell out about. I said, I might even agree with him, but what he did was wrong.
Right. You're right.
I said, what he did was wrong.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, you can lead an uprising like that. The waters of strife and strive with the man of God, and he may not be right, and you may be right, and he might be wrong. But I'm telling you, you can take a crowd down the road, you can start another church, and you can beat away with an axe handle, but you've lost your head, friend.
Right.
A lot of preachers have lost their axe head at the waters of strife. God help us, I'm not an ecumenicus. I'm not in the ecumenical movement. I'm not even going to preach at a church if they don't believe the King James Bible, amen.
Right.
I'm not even going to go sit in a service where they preach and believe anything else. I'm not yoking up with a group, and I'm not going down to a prayer meeting and a prayer breakfast with people that don't believe you're saved by grace through faith and are trying to hold on and hold out, endure to the end. That is a perverted gospel, and I'm not having anything to do with it. But I'm telling you, God help us in this day and in this hour when we as a church cannot get together with other churches and other preachers of like denomination and like doctrine, and there's so much fussing and there's so much fighting and there's so much strife and there's so much discord. That's where we lost our axe head.
Amen.
The Bible said on the day of Pentecost that they were all together in that upper room, and they were in one heart, they were in one mind, and they were in one accord.
Amen.
And I will tell you, with the church at large, where we've lost our axe head, we lost it at the waters of strife. Matthew chapter 5 said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother has aught against you, he said, you might as well leave your gift, go find your brother, get reconciled to him. Because if you take your gift and go out with it, he said, you're going to have a handle without a head. Amen. God said, you can go on and serve. He said, but you might as well leave that headless handle at the altar. Go find your brother, get right with him, get right with her, then you can come back and take a handle with a head and go do something for God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 18, God said, if your brother has trespassed against you, he said, you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone.
Right.
There may be people in this church, there's other members of this church or the church that you're from, and I'll tell you, you've done fell out with some sister. You've fallen out with some brother. You lost your axe head in the waters of strife. And I'm going to tell you, until we go and stretch out our hand, I'm talking about that right hand of fellowship, and do whatever we need to do to try and be reconciled, make things right, we've lost our axe head and we're not getting it back.
Right.
I know you say, preacher, you know, if I was to go to them, you know, they probably just wouldn't even get right, and they'd probably act as swine, and maybe a dog that would turn again and rid me. Well, you go ahead and stretch out your hand, and at least you can leave with an axe handle that's got a head on it, and let them just go ahead and beat away frantically and furiously with a handle without a head, but at least you have the power of God. Amen. Have you lost it, the waters of strife? I want to ask you a question. Hey, listen, I want to ask you a question. Is there somebody that you've been at strife with and you're wondering why you don't have the touch of God? Hey, preachers, listen, God help us today. Facebook and internet has become nothing more than a boxer ring than a bunch of backslid preachers that are getting out there and shaming and disgracing the name of God. They've lost their axe head, brother.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Until we get back to unity, we're going to have to go those waters of strife. Has God made it swim to the surface? It may be years ago you lost it in those waters of strife. There may be some preacher you got to go to and say, preacher, I'm sorry. I run my mouth about you. I ran you down. I wasn't right. I don't know, maybe you can't go back to church. I'm not saying you got to do that. I don't know. Maybe it was a situation you were right and the preacher was wrong, but you was wrong when you lost your head in the waters of strife. Amen.
Right.
Number two, secondly, the waters of sin. You can lose your axe head.
Yes.
Samson, boy, you talk about a lumberjack for God. Amen.
Yeah.
He was a lumberjack for God. He knew how to swing an axe, amen. Matter of fact, one time his handle wasn't nothing but the jawbone of an ass. Amen. But it had an axe head on it, Brother Larry. Amen. And old Samson took the jawbone of an ass. I was sitting back there and I was thinking and hadn't thought of this thought before. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what kind of handle it is. Amen. Long as it's got an axe head on it. God take the jawbone of an ass. Amen, preacher. And if it's got an axe head on it, God can take the jawbone of an ass and watch the Philistines fall. Amen. I mean, one after one, Samson took that jawbone of an ass that had an axe head on it, and son, he swung that thing till 1,000 Philistines had fallen down and laid there dead. I'm telling you, dear friend, no matter what kind of handle you may be no more than a jawbone of an ass, but if we can get the axe head back on the handle, we can watch the big trees fall, amen. And Samson did time and time and time again. But Samson began to play around in the waters of sin. Began to get a little bit too close to it. Till eventually he had fallen in. Axe head and all. Started out desecrating some Nazarite vows of consecration, and Samson had taken some vows. Some vows of consecration, some vows of sanctification. Listen, there were certain places Samson wasn't supposed to go. There are certain things Samson wasn't supposed to touch. There are certain things Samson wasn't supposed to do. But Samson began to play around and dip his foot in the waters of sin. And before it's over, he lost his axe head, friend. Laid his head in the lap of a harlot. Lost his strength, lost his power, lost his axe head. Fooling around with sin. Oh, he got up when she said, the Philistines are upon you. He said, that's nothing. I'll cut them down. I cut them down before. I'll cut some more down. He went out and shook himself. And boy, he went to swinging away. But the Philistines didn't fall this time. Amen. What's wrong, Samson? You're swinging with all your might. But the Philistines are not falling now. You lost your axe head, Samson. He lost it in the waters of sin. And I'm going to tell you where many in the church at large, where we have lost our axe head, we have lost it in the waters of sin. Yes, God's people are supposed to be a holy people, a separated people, a sanctified people, but we have begun to get too close to the waters of sin. We begin to dip our feet in it, and my friend, we begin to play around in the waters of sin, and we've lost our axe head as a result of it. The Bible speaks of the water of the Word. God's Word is likened unto water. And it doesn't matter where it's at, from Genesis to Revelation, in this blessed water of the Word of God, when we come to a verse of Scripture and we disobey that verse and we're not willing to walk in that verse, we have sinned against God. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what it is, where it is, anywhere in this book, anywhere in this Bible, when we walk away and disobey, we lost our axe head right there in those waters, friend. God's people are to be holy and separated and sanctified. There's things we can't do, amen. There's places we can't go. There's things we ought not to touch. God said, touch not the unclean thing. The axe head of the church as a whole has been lost in the waters of sin. We are afraid today, and God help us, there is so much sin in churches today, and we don't want to deal with it. We say, well, we'll lose a family here, we'll lose... You'd be better off to lose that family than lose your accent, amen? And we're going on service after service and week after week, and there's people shacking up in the church, and there's people that curse and use profanity on the job. There's people that are drinking. There's people that are smoking and using tobacco and all kinds of things and that sin against God. We've lost our axe head in those waters of sin, and we're not going to get it back till we're willing to deal with the sin and get it out the church. We have compromised in areas of holiness and separation and sanctification. Some have lost their axe head. It took a miracle for Elisha to bring that thing up to the surface and let it become visible. Some lost it in 1 Corinthians 11. I can look around and see that this morning. Scripture in verse 14, 15, doth not nature itself teach if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him.
Yeah, right.
But he said that if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her.
Yeah, right.
Now don't let me lose you. Just listen to me for a minute. That's simple. But it's too hard for some of you in here. God said it was a glory for a woman to have long hair. I'll tell you where some of you ladies lost your accent at. You lost it down at the beauty salon.
Yeah.
When you just ignored the word of God and said, just cut it off.
Yeah.
And by the way, he said if a woman has long hair, not medium hair, long hair. You can have short, you can have medium, you can have long. But you lost your accent back there.
Amen.
In the waters of sin, when you said cut it off, you sinned against God.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to go back those waters if you want your axe head back. Some lost it over in Psalm 101, verse number 3, where he said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Some of you lost your axe head right there in your living room. When you, matter of fact, you lost it when you went down to the electronics store and bought it. And then you brought it home and set it there. And at first it shocked you a little bit. It bothered you some. But now it don't even bother you how much they cuss.
Right.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how naked they get.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much adultery is portrayed before you and your children.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how much fornicating goes on. Doesn't matter how much they take Jesus' precious name in vain. He said, well, it don't matter. You lost it in the waters of sin. Some lost it at the radio.
Yeah.
Speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, Ephesians 5, 19. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. God's people got no business listening to the world's music.
Amen.
And there's some of you here this morning. You lost your accent at the country music stations where you lost it at. You lost your accent when you turned it over to that rock music and you started listening to that. Boys, I hope y'all don't listen to rock music or country music. It's of the devil, amen.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And you lost your accent. When you turned that dial, you lost your accent and you're not going to get it back till you get back the dial and turn it back to God's music, amen.
Amen.
Some lost it over in 1 Timothy 2:9 when they got to those waters. Like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel.
Yes.
Shamefaced. You know what that word shamefaced means? It means extreme modesty. So ladies, God said you should not only wear modest apparel, it should be extremely modest. Amen. I want to ask you ladies a question this morning. Are your garments shame? Or would it be considered extremely modest? Not just modest, but extremely modest. And we're in a day today, God help us today, we've got church members wearing to church what lost sinners wouldn't have wore back when I started preaching 30 years ago. But members of the church, but my wife made the statement, she said, Brother Hyde's got the same problem here that we got at our church. I said, what's that? She said, the sleeveless shirts and the miniskirts and these little short dresses. I said, honey, every preacher's got that problem, amen. But I tell you the difference I'm seeing in it. Back years ago, I could preach it out, but now there's such a defiance and such a rebellion in the members of the church, you can preach on it, and they'll wear it and make it worse when they come back the next time. God help you to get right with God. Amen.
Amen.
We was over there at the fellowship hall yesterday, and I'm telling you, and I'm just being as honest and plain spoken as I know to be, but there's a woman, she kept bending over in front of me. Her dress skirt she had on probably come maybe about right here. And finally I told my wife, I said, honey, that woman keeps flashing me. I was hoping she'd go, smack her or something. But and one of my little daughters said, she's flashing everybody. You lost your axe head. Right there in those waters, 1 Timothy 2:9. Listen, that word modest means a long, flowing, robe-like garment. Matter of fact, one place is that modest apparel, one place is translated in our Bible as a long robe.
Yeah.
Listen, ladies, if your garment is not a long, flowing, loose, robe-like garment, it is not modest apparel. And it'd be hard to put a pair of breeches in that description, too. You see, ma'am, you're going to have to go back where you lost it at. And I'll tell you where you lost it. When you got to looking around and seeing all the women of the world in their blue jeans and their breeches and how popular it got, and you said, well, you know, I just don't think it's that bad. I know Brother Hyatt how he feels about it. But you went and down to the fashion store and got you a pair of breeches or blue jeans or shorts or a halter top or a sleeveless top or one of these little mini dresses or mini skirts that you see everywhere in the house of God today. Help us. You lost it. And you're going to have to go back to your closet and stretch out your hand and take some of those immodest garments out if you're going to get it back. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
You ain't getting it back without it.
Right.
Some lost it over in Titus chapter 2, verse number 5, those waters, 1 Timothy 5:14, that the women, the elder women, are teach the younger women to be keepers at home. And he said that the young women are to marry, bear children, and guide the house. That's hard to do from the job.
Yeah. You're right.
I mean, that's hard to do on the job.
Amen.
To guide your house. And by the way, God didn't intend for grandma and grandpa to raise your children so you could go out and have a second income. And I know what this preacher, you just can't make it. You talk to the wrong man about that, friend.
Amen.
We make it.
Amen.
We have 11 children living. My wife has never worked a secular job. And we've done it. Amen. And I probably got a house bigger than most people sitting here. Paid for, don't know a dime on it. Just the goodness of God. I tell you, trust God. God will take care of you. Amen. But you lost it. You said, well, we just can't make it. We just can't obey that. I can't be a kid. I got to be a career. We got to have two sources of income. And that's where you lost Jack's head too. And you're going to have to go back, stretch out your hand, and you're going to have to take it. Some lost it in Hebrews 10:25. Those waters. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. You took that job knowing it was going to get you out of church, and you lost your axe, is what you did.
Right.
And you're not, oh, you still go through the motions, swing your hand to all you want, but I'm telling you, God's Word said you're not to forsake it for a job, for a family reunion, for a sports activity, it don't matter what it is. Listen, some of you parents, when Junior got to the place and the ball game came before the house of God, you lost your act, Ted. You lost it.
Amen.
And you're not going to get it back till you go back to those waters of sin and say, God, I lost it right here. Listen, I may not have mentioned the waters that you lost it in, but it doesn't matter. They're somewhere, someplace. The church is a large. We have ignored the Word of God. We have forgotten what God has said. We have turned away from the Scriptures. We have brought contemporary music into the church that sounds like the music of the world, and we've lost our axe head in the process of it.
Amen.
The waters of sin. Number three, lastly. Where fell it? It fell for some, and probably I could say for all, in the waters of, listen to this, spiritlessness. I'm talking about not having the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about the indwelling of the Spirit now, but I'm talking about the fullness of the Holy Ghost. We have become a spiritless church generation.
Yes.
Now, I mentioned Samson. You know what enabled Samson to go out and chop down those trees? Every single time Samson did a supernatural act, the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Amen.
Yes.
Samson knew what it was for the Spirit of God to come on him, have the power of God on him. And I'm telling you, Samson knew not that the Spirit of God had departed, but when he did, his axe head was gone, and he had no power to bring down the Philistines. Jesus told the disciples, he said, now I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, but before you go, fellas, before you get out there and just start wildly swinging away with an axe handle, he said, you tarry at Jerusalem and get you an axe head. Amen.
Amen.
Tarry! at Jerusalem until you endue with power from on high. And they went in that upper room and stayed there till God, on the day of Pentecost, there's a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And listen, church, the Spirit of God came upon them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, not with just a handle, but he had an axe head on it. And brother, 3,000 fell that day. We have lost the axe head of the fullness. I call it almost a lost doctrine because you just don't even hear much about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm afraid that too many preachers are afraid to say much about it because somebody's going to come up and ask them if they are.
Yes.
Preachers, would we be intimidated at all? I had a teacher in Bible college, good man, but he was wrong here. He said, I don't believe anybody filled with the Holy Ghost will know it. But Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and they said, what's going on? He said, this is that. Amen. He knew what happened. Amen. Come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out of my Spirit. I wonder if there's a time in your life when you could ever say, this is that. But I know God has filled me with the Holy Ghost. Elisha is our prominent character in the text. And Elisha, oh, you talk about a lumberjack for God there now. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Got up on Mount Carmel and fire of God fell. He prayed down the fire, prayed up a storm, and then one chapter over, prayed in a soul back into a body. That's pretty good lumberjack, isn't it? Elijah had an axe head on his axe. Amen?
Yeah.
Had the power of God. And here's Elisha. Followed him. Elisha said, God's fixed to take me away. Oh, man. Too many have been taken away. Some are about to be taken away from us. I'm talking about some men that had some axe heads on their handles. But Elijah said, I know it.
Yep.
And Elijah said, what do you want me to do for you? Elijah said, I just got one request. He said, I want a double portion of the Spirit that's on you. Now, let me put that in language for the message today. He said, I want a double-sided axe head. You seen those, Brother Larry? Some of them axe heads, you know, they got one side blunt on the other, but you've seen them two sides. God said, I want an axe head like you got, but I won't be I want a double portion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he said, you've asked a hard thing, he said, but if you see me when I'm taken up out of here, he said, it's yours. So they went on one place and Elijah said, all right, it's time for me to go. God's done with me here. I'm moving on. Elisha, I'll see you when I get back. He said, uh-uh. He said, you're going to see me going with you.
Right.
You're not getting out of my sight.
Right.
Because who knows when God may take you up. Now miss out on that double-sided axe head.
Yes.
All right. How bad do we want it? Amen. And I believe Elijah was somewhat playing with him. Went to the next town. I'm done here, Elisha. I'll see you later. But I believe in his heart the whole time. He said, boy, please come on. Elijah said, no, sir, I'll go with you. Next town did the same. Finally, they come to the waters of Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, smoked those waters, parted over. They went over on dry ground. And all of a sudden, here's the whirlwind, here's the chariot. And Elijah goes up out of his sight. But he leaves behind his axe handle.
Yes, sir.
His mantle fell to the ground. And I see Elijah go over and pick it up and put it on his shoulder. And he went over those waters and he drew it back. And he said, thank God it had a head on it. Amen. Those waters parted hither and thither. And he went over on dry ground. He got the mantle. He got the handle. But he got the head too. Amen.
Amen.
And it was double-sided.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, you can read in the Bible. I ain't done it myself. So if that's wrong, it was them that did it. They said he performed twice as many miracles
yes.
as what Elijah did. Zechariah 4:6, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You can take the biggest man in here, strongest man in here, and you can give him the biggest axe handle, the toughest axe handle, and you can put him out there on a tree, just a little small tree, just a little small tree. Let him go to beating on it. He won't do nothing but damage it. I said, boy, I knocked the bark off of this thing. You know, when you knock the bark off something, all you do is open it up for disease.
Yeah.
God help us to get tired just knocking the bark off of something.
Right.
Hit us an axe head.
Amen.
And fell some trees for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But you can take just a little small fella and you give him a sharp enough axe head on a handle, and son, he can go down there and take a big one out. Amen. We've lost, where fell it? I tell you where it fell. It fell in the waters of, we have operated, we're going along, we're satisfied just to make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
We're satisfied just, oh, that preacher, I tell you, boy, he's getting with it. I'm going to tell you something, it's not how hard he's swinging, it's not how loud he's chopping. Just give me a man that's got a head on his axe, on the handle, and let him get up and preach the Word of God, and that's when the big trees will fall, friend.
Yeah.
Let's stand tonight. This morning.